at the end of the day, I'm doing this, but it's really about the Davey people, the Davey tribe, because when I came to this area not that long ago, I did a bit of research about First Nations in this area and came across Lynn Symes' name and efforts that they've been going to you know, make the plight of their people known. There were massacres and very serious business, which is on the record that my people, I am a white fella, that's what I am. My ancestors have carried out very significant crimes against Wiradjuri and other people, and no one's paid for those crimes. That's been on my mind for many years, but when I moved here, the evidence was just so clear about this stuff, and even white fellas in the community admit that these massacres did occur. That's just what happened. But then people just get on with life and just forget about it. And obviously the Davey people can't just forget about it. It decimated their population, and they've lost property rights and all sorts of other rights, and it's an injustice. And as a lawyer, I don't have a lot of faith in the legal system reacting quickly or always doing the right thing. I think that the legal system is very much a British system. You know, obviously I read Mabo and studied Mabo at uni, and it just seemed completely inadequate to deal with the situation. So this private treaty I've created is something I just conceived after reading about the Batman Treaty, which apparently, you know, was a one-off, and the government more or less overrode that many years ago between one man, Batman, and some other traditional owners down Melbourne way. But I thought, well, I don't need the law to tell me if I can fall in love. I don't need the law to tell me if I can commit a crime or to say sorry for a crime I've committed. So I'll just go ahead and make my own efforts to approach people, you know, in normal human terms and say sorry and ask permission. Is it okay if I do stay on your traditional lands? Because as far as I'm concerned, the lands have been stolen and there's been nothing, no payment of any kind for the land. It's not just about, there was also murder, massacres, and, you know, I've been a solicitor for some time now, so I've been involved in murder cases. And I've seen death up close, photographs, and I've interviewed people straight after they've killed someone, and I know what death is like, and these things have happened to the Davey people. This is what's happened to them. Nothing's, but it's forgotten. We just carry on as if it never happened. I imagine the British would be completely different about this if these sorts of things happened to their people. We'd still be hearing about it now. There'd be all sorts of retribution. And as far as I'm concerned, First Nations have been pretty diplomatic about this stuff.
Now, Paul, just if we actually just have a look at this, I won't pick the entire thing apart because it's quite an extensive treaty. Sure. And just so everybody knows that Paul is a solicitor.
Yeah.
And has set this treaty out quite formally. It contains 24 quite significant points, with the last number of them actually of a very personal nature, in the sense of what you, via this treaty, Paul, are promising that you will do and that you will share. So in terms of what you promise and what you say you will do, I mean, I find point 20.2, undertake cultural education regarding the Davey tribe and ensure his children receive the same. Why did you see that as a very important point? Because I'm big on what I call cultural competency, really big on it, and I think more should be.
Because, well, I can tell you, I studied science, mostly environmental science, and I studied law. It took 7 years of university education to become a solicitor. I can tell you, 15 minutes of that was meeting with a ranger out past Broken at I can't remember the First Nation he was from, but he was a First Nations ranger out past Broken Hill. That was the extent of our exposure to First Nations people during all of that education about the environment, about the law. Of course, we read about Mabo, but simply from the court's perspective. I encounter racism from other solicitors that I have to rub shoulders with about Indigenous issues, and I hear it all the time. They're very careful about it. They'll do it behind closed doors and these sorts of things, but at the end of the day, they seem completely uneducated and uninformed about what has happened in relation to First Nations. And I can't have my children growing up that way. It's not the truth. They're not they're not growing up with the truth in mind. And so people need to know this is the reality of these people's history, and this is what's happened to them, and it's never discussed. And I want my children to know about these things because they'll be much more respectful and more careful about how they deal with First Nations issues, and they won't be so presuming of their property rights, of all sorts of things.
You're listening to SBS Radio Living Black. I'm Michelle Lovegrove, and I'm speaking with Paul Dixon about a very interesting and very important personal treaty that he and his family have signed with the Davey people of the Wiradjuri Nation. With you talking quite a bit about, you know, this is what happened to the Derby, etc. I mean, this experience can be multiplied across the whole continent. And Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people listen to my show, and this is stuff we know because we live it every day, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of what other people say, they say that was in the past. My ancestors didn't do it. My relatives didn't do it. I wasn't born then. I'm not responsible. Get over it, right?
Yep.
So with you, a white fella, talking to me about these things today, what will you say when people say to you, mate, get over it? What's your problem? That was in the past. It's done. You know, it's finished.
Sure. Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's plenty of clear evidence in Australian society that the First Nations are still suffering, you know, significant harm because of what white fellas have done in the past as far as being socially disadvantaged, all these sorts of things. I visit jails frequently. There's a juvenile detention centre on the Central Coast of New South Wales. It's almost, you may as well just call it a First Nations youth detention centre. There's significant social problems that this process has caused, but I know that First Nations are not just one homogenous group of people. They have many different views across First Nations, but when I met, I just simply rang Lynn Syme up out of the blue after seeing that she's a public figure in relation to, you know, promoting her culture and respecting her ancestors, and met with her. Asked her, can I send you a letter, you know, setting out some important issues? And she, yes. And of course, the possibility was, I knew this, I didn't tell her what I was doing, that it may have been rejected. You know, we want more than this. This isn't good enough. That was a possibility. And what I would have done then was I would have negotiated. That's what my people should have done in the first place. The answer could have been no when white fellas came here in the first place. It could have been no, and they should have just negotiated, which is what I would have done. The basic point is that the land was stolen. We never gave anything for it. And now we are continually benefiting from that criminal process. And in law, in standard Australian law, there's this thing, proceeds of crime, where it doesn't matter if some guy, for example, accumulated a lot of wealth through criminal activity, such as a house, cars. It doesn't matter if he passes away. His family can't simply keep it because he's dead and he doesn't have to answer for his crimes. The family is then scrutinised and they have to hand those proceeds over. So in our law, we don't simply just finish the criminal equation because someone passes away.
Someone said the other day those similar arguments, and this is actually on Facebook. Well, no, you may not have been responsible. And your relatives may not have been responsible, but what you are responsible now for is how this story finishes.
That's right. And how it continues now, what we do about land rights. Our native title, for example, is very restrictive. It basically, you know, people have to meet the definition of almost approximating what First Nations were like just at the time of white settlement occurring or just prior to it. Otherwise, they're not entitled to getting, you know, property or land back. And we caused the situation of them being divorced from the land, and here we are saying we're not going to get it back any longer. This is the state that you're in. You're no longer in a traditional state, so you can't have it back, I'm sorry. And we're the people who actually took it, and we're making that determination. It's a conflict of interest.
You've signed this now. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to do, you know, in the whole festive Christmas season that we're in at the moment. I do know from your message to me, thank you, is that the treaty will be sent on because there's a number of other Derby elders who would need to sign this as well. So what next? What happens then?
It's not set in stone. So that was one of the things I said at the signing, is that this treaty is flexible. And if it doesn't work out in one way or the other, we'll just talk about it and we'll just negotiate it further. So it's about forming relationships between, you know, my family and the local Derby tribe. And I would definitely encourage other people who say, non-Indigenous people I'm talking about, who say they're serious about these matters and want a treaty for First Nations people, support those. Well, they can certainly contact local traditional owners and discuss with them. Well, you know, do you mind if I seek permission? And people can just approach First Nations people on their own. They don't need the government to arrange these things for them. That may take forever to occur. So I just think that people may not agree with my particular approach, but the underlying principle that, well, white fellas can simply approach First Nations themselves and just have a discussion about this, it's quite clear. We're in receipt of proceeds of crime. Maybe we should have a chat about it. But they can just take from it the fact that, yeah, one white fella stepped out and did this, and nothing terrible happened to me. It was a good outcome. There's been some progress made, and the Derby tribe are happy about it. And so am I. I feel it's not about me, but I do feel my conscience has been cleared a little bit.